Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to this special edition of Coach Menachem. I guess we can call it Share 191.5, because we just did 190 this week. We're getting together because of something that happened recently in Lakewood, and obviously there's a lot of concern about it, and Baruch Hashem, because of all the organizations, they reached out to us, quite a few mental health organizations, Chaskenu, but specifically Confei Fega, this is Rosenfeld who runs it. We're getting a lot of calls, a lot of things happening. And we decided we're going to have an open discussion and just talk about it to give everybody some clarity. And we'll get into it. So again, if everybody's here, this is a Sikh Sarim to really talk through specifically mental health, specifically the tragedy that happened. So everybody has their own take and their own feelings about what happened. And we just want to get some clarity from Dr. Friedman, who's our in-house psychologist. Right? My personal psychologist told me I'm having a hard day. So hopefully you can give us some light. Again, if anybody wants to join our WhatsApp chat, please WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I'm also going to post a link in the chat if you want to just join our community chats so you can be part of it and let you know anytime there's a special event or anything. Please join us as well. Hold on 1 second. There's a link. And again, thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood School, for promoting this in Lakewood. I think you even put it on. I think he put it on the bulletin boards in Lakewood to join today's share. That's how important it was. And you can see there's so many people here. There's already 330 people here at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. So it's a very important topic. And, Sunday, we have the regular programming still on, June 30th. We're going to have a few data casts, so please join us there. And, we're going to get straight into it. So first, we're going to open up Menachem. We'll open up why we're here tonight. And then we'll speak to Dr. Friedman and Mrs. Rosenfeld from Confei Fega, who's involved in mental health and a lot of people in Lakewood and is getting a lot of calls this week, can give us their thoughts. Coach Menachem.
Okay, thank you very much. Welcome everyone. Yes, it's the middle of the day. And here we are. It is a special program. There's a lot going on in Klal Yisrael the past few weeks, a few months. People are trying to figure it out, and especially what happened here in Lakewood. There's a fog. It's hard for people to see straight. People have questions. And just getting together, this is one of the things that we try to do, is to have a place where we can, let's talk. So we can try to maybe not figure out, but see what's going on. And the truth is, Hashem wants something from us. It's not a question. We have to know that. You know, we're in Golus, and there's a lot going on. And what does Hashem want from us? Sitting together, what awareness we need, what can be done, what should be done, what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, what can we fix? Something to talk about. And first of all, I want to thank Confei Fega for putting together this program and for doing what they do, helping people that need it, especially in today's days. A lot of phone calls coming in. And again, they're not there for crisis. They're pre-crisis or when things are stable. But when this crisis is going on, and obviously you have to call out, whether it's the High Lifeline, Relief, Amudim, there are organizations out there. I know sometimes people reach out and they don't get exactly what they want. It gets hard. And then they complain, but it's a process. It's a journey. And we're here. Let's see what we can do, what we can do better.
Kol HaLashon.
So thank you, Confei Fega. And thank you, Dr. Friedman, for being with us and helping us to guide this conversation. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should have La Siyata Deshmaya. And Hashem should help us. We should have a Geula. Everybody, every individual. We should have an achuma, and we should see. We see Mashiach is coming, but, you know, we're waiting for Mashiach, so thank you very much.
And the freedom of the floor is yours.
Give it to
I thought Rebbetzin Rosenfeld should say a few words.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Coach Menachem and staff, and of course Dr. Friedman, for responding to this call in the very last minute. Thank you to the staff at Confei Fega, Brady Hausman, and Nechama Portnoy for pulling all the technicals together. Before I give you a little bit of background of what Campe Fega does and why we're presenting this event together with Coach Menachem today, I'd like to make a very important disclaimer. We at Campe Fega and Dr. Friedman do not have any knowledge or information about the family in which this tragedy occurred. We do not know any medical background nor mental health backgrounds. We are just responding to the questions, fears, and need for clarity that our families, mentors, and the community at large are asking for help with. May this family have a complete nechama, and may any toelis that comes out of this event be an ilah neshama for these precious neshamalach. May these pure neshamas go up to the Kisei HaKavod and plead to the Rabbeinu Shleilam that he put an end to all illness in Klal Yisrael, be it physical, mental, psychological, emotional, or spiritual illness. The most common question we are all grappling with is, can this happen to anyone? Can it happen to me or my loved one without any warning? And I hope this Yata Dishmaya, Dr. Friedman, will be able to answer some of these questions. Now, a little bit about Campe Fega. We are an organization that help families where one of the parents are struggling with a mental illness or extreme emotional distress. Campe Fega was started by one of the founders were Mrs. Goldie Jaroslowitz, who was director of behavioral health at Chemet and is a therapist in private practice. Goldie had a client who came to her one day and said that she has a neighbor whose child has cancer, Leilenu. She watched as Chai Lifeline brought supper, homework helpers, cleaning help, and more to the family. Meanwhile, her husband was hospitalized in the psych ward for a bipolar episode, and she needed every one of those services, but there was no one to turn to. And specifically because of the stigma associated with mental illness, she was all alone. This was the impetus for Goldie and others to start the organization. What we do is we offer support and some practical assistance to our family. The way we set it up is we meet with the woman or the couple, and we set her up with a mentor. The mentor are volunteers, wise, caring, but are not professionals. We offer training and continuous handholding, but the mentor creates a support system for the mother. Once the family is part of our program, we see whatever practical help we can give them. We do not provide financial assistance, but we do have big sisters, homework helpers, meals, professional organizers, and among other services. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite any woman over 35 who has an hour to spare in her week to join us to become a mentor. Our current mentors are so inspired by the women they work with and have learned so much. It's a very rewarding experience. I think everyone here knows someone who struggles with a common mental illness, like depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD, ADHD, and more. A pharmacist who works in Lakewood once told me, if you take any block in Lakewood, there will be someone in every other house that's on some sort of medication, be it anti-anxiety, antidepressants, ADA meds, sleeping aids, or others. If I remember correctly, and I'm not sure, so I don't want to be quoted, but I think the Mashgiach Zatzal said that mental illness is one of the nesiyonos of the Dar of Mashiach. However, this that we're discussing today is a whole different level of discussion, and I give it over to Dr. Friedman to explain. In addition to Dr. Friedman being a brilliant psychiatrist, he is the first one to answer the call for the Klal. He is at the forefront of training our Mechanchim and Rabbanim on prevention, detection, and treatment of mental illness. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Friedman.
Revitson, thank you so much for your kind words and for your tremendous achrayas in putting this together. I think all I can say is that we are heartbroken, but we will not only survive, we will thrive as a klal when we work together as a klal. What I'm always reminded of when there's a tragedy, whatever that tragedy might be, is that when I was in medical school and then as a trainee psychiatrist and then as a senior physician and a medical director, when there would be a horrible outcome with one of the patients for whom we were charged with caring, we would have what's called M&M rounds, NMM rounds was a time for people to talk about what happened and share their feelings. And one of our wise department chairs once stood up and said, everybody remember, we're not here to talk about problems and we're not here to play the blame game. That's for the lawyers. We are the healers, and the healers are here to talk about solutions. I would encourage everybody here to view themselves as a healer. If for nothing else, you're here to heal yourself. And by healing yourself, you will have the koach to go out and to heal others. I am so grateful to be here with a few specific healers. Reb Usher, Coach Menachem, Rebitson Rosenfeld, Anfei Feiga, Yasher Koach to you for putting this together, and Yasher Koach to all of my tremendous colleagues who I discussed what would be shared tonight, whether it's Reb Shimon Russell Shlita, Reb Yitzhak Schwartz Shlita, Dr. Zev Alexander, Dr. Jenny Goldstein. I am tremendously grateful to be a part of this call. I think the most important thing, once again, is to, as Rebitson Rosenfeld said, share our sincere condolences with the family. No one is to blame here. All we can do is daven that everyone will be healthy and will be able to rise from this tragedy stronger. The most important thing that I can share with many people, however, on this conversation is going to be to tell them that this is a tremendously rare occurrence. Acts of severe violence, whereby the person who commits such an act has a serious mental illness, is an exceedingly rare phenomenon. In the world, that's the case. How much more so in our community, whereby myself and Rebitson Rosenfeld, when discussing this last night, could only think of between the two of us three, four, five other similar cases in our lifetime. One is too many, but Baruch Hashem, this is not a common thing that happens. People with mental health issues are significantly more likely to be victims of violence as opposed to being perpetrators of violence. People with mental illness do not hurt other people. People with mental illness are devoted husbands, loving wives, present parents, beloved grandparents, holy aunts and uncles, rebbes, mechanchim, doctors and lawyers and dentists, and even psychiatrists and psychologists. People with mental illness are people in our families that we know and love, in people in our communities that we respect and care about, beyond caring for. There is a major difference between being a person who is engaged in a tragic, violent event and being a person who is stressed out. Being a person with a mental illness. Stress is normal. Mental illness is common. And tragedies such as this are exceedingly rare. At one point, I checked Wikipedia a number of years ago, and it told me that there are approximately 10,000 Rome families in the Kahilo in Lakewood. Let's just use that number because it's easy. If one in three people will struggle with mental illness at some point in their life, and 10% of people will struggle with addiction at some point in their life, that frankly means that there's not a household where somebody doesn't have these challenges. If there are 10,000 families, that means that there will be 1,000 mothers who will experience postpartum depression. That means that there will be thousands of moms and dads dealing with anxiety. That means there will be 500 moms and dads dealing with OCD. There will be 600 parents with bipolar disorder and 200 moms and dads with schizophrenia. These are our neighbors, our cousins, and people in our own nuclear families that we sing Shalom Aleichem and Eish Yischiel with at the Shabbos table. These are not perpetrators of violence. These are not people who are at risk of violence. These are not people who have done anything wrong, because mental illness is a brain disease. We have to understand that, yes, people who are struggling with acutely erratic symptoms, people who are not engaged in professional treatment, people who are not medication compliant, people who are using drugs and alcohol, are at risk of having bad outcomes to them and the ones they love. But even that is exceedingly rare. And certainly for people who are engaged in treatment, seeing licensed professionals, working with psychiatrists who are medication adherent, who are sober, who are trying their best to be productive members of society and loving members of the family, should not be viewed as pariahs, at people at risk of violence to themselves or others. We have to make a shift. The shift has to be to a greater sensitivity, to a greater knowledge and understanding of what is mental illness as a community. How can we help? Baruch Hashem, there was a time when Haskenu didn't exist. There was a time when Amudim and Relief did not exist. There was a time when Kanfei Feiga did not exist, when there wasn't a psychiatric department associated with Chemed, when there was no achieved behavioral care, when Mayanei Yeshua didn't have a psychiatric unit. But we're making changes and progress as a community. However, as long as we view mental illness as something outside and separate from illnesses in the rest of the body, there will always be tremendous misunderstanding, fear, and bizarre things that happen when we try to care and help each other. The community does not expect, as my friend Reb Yitzhak Schwartz says, they do not expect who have a broken arm to lift sacks of flour to get ready to bake their matzahs. They do not expect people in a wheelchair to build a sukkah, and yet they expect people with mental illness to get over it, to be a mensch, to grow up, to work on your midos. And unfortunately, until we get rid of this mentality, we may be condemned to respond only in times of crises, again and again. Until we cultivate and engage from professionals as a community, and Baruch Hashem, this has started, until we bring the mechanchim and the community leaders to learn from these professionals, and this has started, and until we have the mechanchim and the from professionals work together to educate the families, to support their loved ones who are suffering in the utter dungeon of despair with their loneliness, we will be doomed to repeat this again and again. And I will give a similar talk that I gave when I went to Manchester 5 years ago after a spat of suicide. I will give the same talk that I gave in Beit Shemesh, and I will give a similar talk to the one I'm doing now, until we as a community realize it's not enough just to talk about it. We have to make serious efforts to create a massive change. And we have to be supportive. There is no other condition, as my friend Dr. Zev Alexander says, whereby somebody would say, I can't go to get chemotherapy at 4 p.m. because people would know I'm missing from afternoon Seder and they might be hushed on me that something is wrong. So can I have an appointment with the psychiatrist at 11 p.m.? I can't come to the office of the cardiologist, so I must go and borrow money to have.
Getting put off. Wait a minute, Dr. Friedman.
Me? You got me?
Just a second. I'll try now.
You got me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. The concern of people knowing about what's happening to our loved ones when they are dealing with a mental health issue, when they are receiving treatment for a mental health issue, the fear and the concern and the shame should be dwarfed by the fear of not getting the best treatment possible as fast as possible. People should be so scared of not getting the highest quality treatment, of not rallying their family, their community to support their loved ones who are dealing with mental illness. They should be so frightened that people would think they didn't do everything that they could to help their loved one, which they would most certainly do if their loved one was dealing with a heart, a kidney, or a lung problem. And when that fear is so great, we will no longer have fear that somebody else might know that one of our loved ones is seeing a psychologist, is seeing a therapist, is seeing a psychiatrist, or taking a medication. 30% of women aged 20 to 60 in America will take an antidepressant medicine this year. That does not include mood stabilizers or antipsychotics. That is an antidepressant, 30%. Now, we're not talking about if that means overprescribing or not. We're talking about how that's common. There is a 0% chance that we don't have somebody who we know and love that is in need of treatment and that we could support better. It's not beyond us either. There's a famous story about when one of the Gedolei Yisroel and his wife were staying by the Bosner Rebbe Zitzal in the Rofei program, and they were receiving treatment for a medical issue. And in the middle of the night, somebody called and was yelling about how their Mashiach, and the Bosner Rebbe Zitzal stayed on the phone for up to an hour with this person. And the Rosh Yeshiva's wife asked the Bosner Rebbetzin, why did you stay on the phone with them for so long? And the Bosner Rebbetzin said, because if they're Mashiach, then of course it's a good thing to be mechabed them. And if they aren't, then they're most certainly struggling and they need somebody to listen to them and to tell them it's going to be okay. We are all capable of such greatness. We should not fool ourselves and think.
You're cutting out again. Just a second.
Is it my Kesher, Rav Menachem, or it's
I think so.
The system?
I'll move
slightly. Do you have me a bit better now?
We hope so.
You got me?
Yeah.
So, good. We should be careful to understand that we have done a good job of preventing these tragedies. And although one tragedy is too much, this is a very rare phenomenon in our community. However, there are other tragedies that happen on a daily basis that we are not doing as good a job of preventing. For every case of schizophrenia and of bipolar disorder that ends like this, there are thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands of cases of people who suffer in silence, of a young man with OCD who's newly married that will be divorced from his wife due to his symptoms that are untreated, undertreated, and not understood, of a young woman who will have postpartum depression after her baby is born and will be divorced because of it, or who will suffer in silence and not have another child afterwards because it's too difficult, of a young woman who will leave seminary because of panic attacks, because she's too embarrassed to ask to go to a therapist, and she'd rather say she's homesick and leave in the middle of the year. Of a young man who loves being in yeshiva, but he's too nervous to show up and give a chabura, so he'll drop out and work in an Amazon warehouse. We should not be concerned only about these tragic events. We should be concerned of all of the micro tragedies that happen all around us, of all of the 30% of mental illness, which is not the 3% of severe mental illness, people who suffer in silence, who have smaller tragedies of shalom bias problems, of going off the derech, of hurting in silence, and of being trapped in that dungeon of loneliness and despair because they have no one they can talk to. Chavrisa or mituta, a person who doesn't have somebody to talk to feels that they might be better off dead. And this is the work that our community needs to do. We need to have preventative healthcare. We need to have social emotional learning programs like the ones run by Amudim, not just for Yeshiva Gedola Rebbes, but this needs to happen in elementary school where we teach people to love each other more and be more understanding. We don't need to have Benji Epstein, Rav Benji, my dear friend, give a one-time talk on Coach Menachem. We need to have mindfulness be the daily engagement of every single one of us to feel calm and present and engaged and to know what our strengths and weaknesses are. We need to not be nervous that someone would see us at a 12-step Alcohol Anonymous meeting, so we'll go to a church basement, but we can't have one in a shul. We should have kala teachers knowing about signs and symptoms of trauma and be comfortable in referring people out to professionals to deal with issues of trauma before the chasana, before a broken marriage. We need to have chasan teachers look out for signs and symptoms of OCD so a chasan won't go meshugi and torture his wife about did she open or close her eyes when she toivled. We need to have yeshiva katana rebbes who are looking for this and not looking to send their kids to Rabbi Kalish Shlita because they don't fit the mold, but rather to bring the love and acceptance that Rabbi Kalish Shlita brings to all of the Bacharim. So that way, every place has the same warmkeit and acceptance that Waterbury has. We need to be careful about rechilus, about not falling into the trap of nias, and not for halacha reasons, because Lord knows I'm not here to talk to you and be a Rebbe. We need to be careful because the more we talk about this and gossip about it, when we have no idea what happened, when this is an unfathomable story and we come up with our own svaras, it's because of this, it's because of that. If she had this, I bet he wasn't that. If we start going down that road, we make ourselves more anxious. We spread rumors and we drive each other crazy with stigma and fear. It's not gossip mongering, it's fear mongering. When you don't know what's going on, the only svara you should have, and I'll quote here Reb Shimon, Russell Shlita, is that I clearly don't have all of the information and therefore I cannot understand what is happening. That is a legitimate svara when something ununderstandable happens, when something unfathomable, such as this tragedy, where a young woman in our community has killed her children. The only conclusion that we should jump to is that this is an unfathomable tragedy and I cannot understand what is happening. I think one of the proudest moments that I had as a father was when one of my daughters came home and said, oy vey, our neighbor has a complex life. And I said, what do you mean, Margaliti? And she said, I don't understand why he does the things that he does, but he must be struggling with something that I don't know. And I thought, that's exactly what's happening. Because we have to understand that people are struggling. And if we have the kohos to intervene and to do something to help this family, lo ta'amod al dam reyecha. This is on us because nobody else is going to make it happen. I had the zechus of sitting with a Sasover chassid at a simcha last week. And then he told me a nice drasha and asked me if I knew anything about his chassidus. And I said, I only know one drush from Rav Moshe Leib, but it's a good one. He said that if you see a poor person in the street, you should use your Yetzer Tov and your Yetzer Hara. He said, use your Yetzer Hara to be an Epicurus and say, this guy is poor. I don't believe anybody else will ever feed him. It must be on me. And then use your Yetzer Tov not to be a Baal Gaiva about it. When you know somebody is struggling in our community, help them. Please, don't ask questions. Just drop off a kugel. Take their kids to Pirche. Take their daughter to the Beis Yaakov play. Go ahead and take out the trash. Whatever you can do to help them, just do it. You don't need to know what's happening. You'll never understand what's happening, even if they told you. Just help. You have time, as Rebbetzin Rosenfeld said, volunteer. Rabbi Twersky's at Saul. We have to credit him really for everything here. This is what, again, my colleague Zev said when I spoke with him today. He said, we have to realize that we had the greatest there was, and everything that we owe is to him in the way that he brought these conversations to the forefront. One time he told me that he did it because he said, if we're not talking about it as professionals to our community, then people will come up with their own answers and they'll come up with their own conclusions and their own way of handling the problems. And if we don't tell them as firm professionals in a culturally sensitive way, then they'll come up with their own unprofessional solutions. So it's on us. And when I spoke with him once about a project of mine about teaching children about mental health, he said, we have to, because otherwise they'll teach themselves. And he said that kids are infinitely more perceptive than we give them credit for being. And if we don't explain things to them, then they will find someone else to explain it to them. And we should not be surprised when the other explanations that they get are immature, incorrect, and potentially dangerous. We cannot be afraid to answer our children's questions about what happened, certainly in an age-appropriate way. But if we are afraid to do so, then they will be afraid to ask us. We have to understand there are signs and symptoms of mental illness. People who are acting erratic, people who are bizarre, people who are doing strange things are potentially suffering. You have a question? Call Rabbi Babad. Call Rabbi Shlomo Katz here in Eretz Yisrael from Relief. Call Amudim. Rabbi Gluck would love to talk to you. I'll even give his personal cell phone, and everybody should call it. Just kidding, Rabbi Gluck. But go ahead. Call these folks. Call High Lifeline. Call Haskenu. Ask these questions. Call Hatzalah. You can always tell Hatzalah to leave, but you can't call them when it's too late. Call these questions and ask them. There are people who are waiting to speak with you, to come up with a plan. If you see people behaving erratically and you're concerned, it is time to act. Chas v'shalom, something dangerous could happen. But more likely than that is chas v'shalom, whoever you see struggling will continue to struggle. And it will go generation after generation and after generation. We have an achrayus, kol Yisrael aravim zelazeh. This is on us. If you are the loved one of somebody who is in treatment, it is not asking the doctor or the therapist to violate confidentiality if you share with them what's happening. I oftentimes have rebbes who will call me and say, I know Yitzi's in treatment with you. I know you can't tell me anything about him, but I just want to let you know, I think he's been smoking marijuana again. I know that Avi's in treatment with you. I know you can't say anything, but I want to let you know he hasn't gotten out of bed in a week. That's not Lashon Hara. It's Lito Ellis, and it's maybe Pekuach Nefesh. And furthermore, it's not a violation of confidentiality. If you have a loved one in treatment, get to know their doctor, not to be a nudnik, not to be a baal rechilus, but to go in and create a relationship, to share collateral information, and to ask, how can I be helpful? Yes, there is laws about confidentiality, but when it comes to safety, that is above confidentiality. So please, I urge everybody, build relationships with those who are providing treatment and let them tell you how you can be helpful. This goes for rebbes, for college teachers, for moms, for dads, for neighborhood folk that want to be helpful. I know that this is running long, so I want to just share one thought. Rabbi Tversky Zitzel once told me that his favorite drush that he ever gave was the one about lobsters. If you don't know it, you should look it up on YouTube if that's not us or by you. And if it is, ask somebody who it's not us or by you and by them to look it up and then tell you about it, because it's so wonderful. The Rav Zitzel said that he was sitting in the dentist's office and he picked up a magazine as he was waiting and read about how lobsters grow a bigger shell. He said that lobsters are this soft creature trapped in a hard shell, and the soft inside of the lobster grows, but the hard shell doesn't. So what happens as the lobster is growing? Well, the soft insides continue to grow, and then they push against the hard outside. And as they push hard enough against the outside shell, the shell falls off. The lobster crawls under a rock and waits as a new, bigger shell grows. And then the inside comes and grows bigger and bigger and pushes against the new hard shell. And then the lobster crawls back under the rock and loses its big outer shell. And it continues to grow kacha. And he said, what's pashat is that stress causes growth. The only way that the lobster knows that it's time to grow bigger is because of the stress that it feels. And he said, human beings should hop this and realize that stress allows us to grow. Stress doesn't mean that it's time to drink alcohol and do drugs and make the stress go away. Stress means that it's time to look within ourselves and say, this is my time of growth. This is our time of growth. We can go ahead and run away from the stress of coming up with productive plans to move forward after crises like these, or we can take the bull by the horns and say it's time to make some serious changes in terms of how we share knowledge that is based on up-to-date research, how we provide high-quality treatment, and how we decrease the stigma and the fears of those in our community to allow them to get the help that they need, as opposed to being so nervous to share that they're struggling that they would rather suffer in silence. So I'll add a quick perush or a quick thought to Rabbi Tversky's lobster drush. And it goes like this. Crabs do the same thing. Crabs also have a soft inside that grows. And then when it grows so big, it pushes against the outside of their hard shell, which does not grow, and they have to also shed their hard shell. But as opposed to crawling under a rock in a solitary fashion while they're vulnerable, crabs congregate together in mounds that are 100 feet high of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of crabs. And they come together and the ones that are shedding their shell and are most vulnerable and have soft skin that can be eaten by stingray predators and bigger fish and sharks and octopus and anything that would eat a crab when it doesn't have a hard shell on, they crawl to the middle of the pile. And the ones who are on the outside have a hard shell and are protected against predators. Because those who are at risk and most vulnerable need to be protected by those who are the strongest. And in doing so, they take turns. And the ones who need support and help and protection are in the inside while they're most vulnerable. And the ones who are strongest and most able to support the rest of their brethren are on the outside, fending off the stingrays and the octopuses and the other sharks that are trying to prey on their brothers and sisters. Rabosai, we can do this too. We can support our most vulnerable, and we can do it by being right next to them, like the crabs. And we can also realize that one time we will be in their position, and Im Yirtzeh Hashem, if we have done a good job of protecting them, they will be strong enough to protect us. We should be zoche to learn a bit from these trifidic animals that crawl on the bottom of the ocean, because if they can do it, then Hashem knows that we can too. So I'm grateful to have been here tonight by me, today by you. I'm grateful to have you all as colleagues and as my holy brothers and sisters along this journey, to be good shaluchim, to help not only our brothers and sisters, but to help ourselves, because when we're strong, we're able to be strong for others. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be successful, and the Eibishter should help us. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Freeman. I really appreciate you coming on. And for the people that came here today, in the afternoon, so many people here. Hopefully they get chesed from it. Herbert Freeman, the share should be spread around the world. We're ready for it to go viral. Are you ready?
I should hope that just as viruses will be viewed as a medical issue, that mental health will be viewed as a medical issue as well. And we should not be embarrassed to have a virus, and we should not be embarrassed if we have a mental health issue. We shouldn't even be embarrassed if we have a virus or a virus, depending on how you want to pronounce it, or averot, because everybody's going to do tshuva, and the Eibishter is going to see it, and he's going to take care of us. And we should all have a nechama and be matzliach.
Amen. All right, everybody, take care. We'll see you guys regular Sunday night at 9:30. Good Davikassis. And Dr. Freeman, we love you.
Love you, too. It's mutual.
Take care.
Thank you.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.